and we've decided we're going to the ostrich farming business.
No, we have not decided that.
It's the only logical, lucrative business we can do.
It's really not.
But it's so cheap to get started. It's only 380 gold if we want to start with 4 ostriches.
Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Villains Talk Show and Podcast. I am one of your hosts, C4. That was the Greasy Boy and the Viking, obviously arguing about...
ostriches.
Yeah. And hello. How is everyone out there in cyberspace?
Probably alive. Unless they're bots.
Or robots.
Yeah.
They could be.
But so could we.
Yeah, none of us actually.
That?
Oh, okay. So, hello. How is everybody? We are the Villains of the Villains Talk Show. If you want to help us, obviously like, share, and subscribe. Or you could be on our Patreon. Shout out to Ruchala. Yeah. Surviving in today's topic. You guys go.
Say what? Things. Surviving?
I don't know.
Just completely on topic. The cost of an ostrich in Canada is anywhere from $100 to $14,000, depending on how much you want to spend.
Have you ever eaten an ostrich egg?
And wouldn't you need a special license to like own
Not
an
necessarily.
Ostrich?
I think that's part of the money for the $14,000 if you want a breeding pair.
And what? No, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be way more. You got to have like a certain amount of land, I'm sure. You have to have a certain amount of space.
Absolutely.
No, you can have them in your apartments, it says. But
what?
Bullshit.
No. There's no way you can keep an ostrich in an apartment.
But no, ostrich eggs also cost, on average, about $30.
Yeah.
And I looked this up earlier today because I was curious. Ostriches, like fertile ostriches, lay eggs about 1 to 2 eggs per week between April and September.
So, just in case anyone was curious, yes, I have been hearing about this all day. He has been trying to convince me to buy ostriches in D&D.
But this is real world money now.
Yes, I know. I'm still just as worried for you.
But ostriches in D&D are unwieldy. It's not as
in real life.
No, I'm sure in real life that I'm sure you can factory farm ostrich eggs. I'm sure they're not as unwieldy as long as you have a nest for them.
I don't know about that. I've never heard anything positive about an ostrich.
You can ride them.
Yeah.
My grandma used to tell us stories about how when she went to Africa, when she was fleeing Nazi Germany, she was in South Africa and she rode ostriches.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
That's like an actual thing. And that's like not a joke. Like, that's something people do.
Nice.
I mean, not zebras. It's funny. Ostriches are probably more tameable than zebras.
That makes sense.
So
hey, but that movie Racing Stripes told me that you can totally tame a zebra and ride it in a race and win.
No. Lies.
That's what the movie told me.
Utter lies. Zebras
That's
are
the
most...
told me and movies are never
Are you saying
wrong.
That movies lie?
Viking. To you and everyone else out there, I want you to think. You're a horse. You're an animal that has no claws, no horns. The only thing you can do is run fast, okay? And not just that, you exist in the one place where everything is going to kill you. Even the vegetarians will kill you. So your only defense, be a bigger asshole than everything else.
You do realize that I'm well aware that you cannot tame a zebra and ride it in a race and win, right?
I was more talking to the audience, actually. I knew you
said my name specifically.
Well, I did, but I was more talking to the audience.
All right.
It was more directed towards the audience. In case anyone out there is thinking like, oh, really? You could ride a zebra? I'm like, no.
You know what you can ride, though?
What can you ride?
An emu.
An emu? Is it big enough?
Yeah, it's about the size of an ostrich. If not a little bigger, actually.
Aren't they the more dangerous ones?
Yes.
Well, yeah, they're the ones that Australia fights wars against.
I was going to say, there's like one that's super dangerous, and then there's one that's just not dangerous. And ostriches are technically not dangerous. Like peacocks are more dangerous. I thought peacocks were more dangerous than ostriches.
No, ostriches are very dangerous. There's a whole ostriches video series of how to fight an ostrich.
But they're big, but they're also really easy to fight because you just grab them by the neck.
When have you fought an ostrich? Those necks
are fast.
So is anything in the wild, but like, I stand by what I said.
They're faster than you can grab.
I stand by what I said.
All right, cool. Let's watch you fight them.
It's a bird. It'll be fun. I would be more scared to fight a peacock than an ostrich.
I would love to see you try both. It would be very entertaining.
And then it'd be even better to watch you lose to a goose.
Everyone would lose to a goose, though.
I have actually fought a Canadian goose and won.
So I don't believe you. Nobody wins against Canadian geese.
Easy. It was easy. The thing came at me. I jumped out of my shoes, picked up one, and it flew right at me, and all I did was axe chop it right in the fucking head. It hit the ground. As it picked up its head, I axe chopped it again. Its head hit the ground, and I walked away. It probably died. I'm not even gonna sugarcoat that. I probably killed it. But no, I've won against a Canadian goose.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That's what they all say.
No, I was not going to run from an animal. I am a human, and I am at the top of the food chain for a reason.
Do you apply the same logic to bears and wolves?
Yeah.
I've seen bears in the wild. They're not, unless it's like you're in the fall, which has never happened to me. It's always usually in the spring or summer. Mm-hmm. Bears, you just talk to, just like this, just like I'm talking to you now. You stand up straight. It really depends on the
bear.
If a polar bear, obviously you're fucked.
And a grizzly.
Well, no. Grizzly female, yeah. Grizzly male, no, man. I mean, I've never done a grizzly, but I've definitely heard from my sister and from many people that male grizzlies are a lot more temperamental in the summer because they're not hungry, they're not hunting, and it's not mating season. However, polar bears.
Does that mean they're a lot less temperamental?
Yeah, a lot less temperamental. Sorry. Where obviously female grizzlies are, it depends if they have cubs or not. Same with any bear, really. But bears, you gotta remember, bears are closest to dogs, even though it's like 10 million years ago. Their closest relative is dogs. So just like wolves were domesticated after thousands of years, even though they're not dogs, they're wolves. You can still... I've never dealt with wolves. I've heard they're scary as shit, to be honest. I've heard wolves are scarier than bears. But I've definitely met bears in the woods. And I've done exactly what I've been told. You just stand up straight, talk to them calmly. Don't turn your back on them. And if they stand up, what you do is you then kind of slouch a bit. And if they slouch a bit, you just kind of slouch a bit too. Because it shows being relaxed. So you start by standing up, and then you talk to it normally, and then as soon as it looks at you, you just slouch your position. Because what it shows is it's bare body language. You're basically saying, like, as soon as you slouch, you're saying, I don't give a shit. I'm not a threat.
I feel to cover our bases. None of us are bear experts. Do not take
fucking true. And use fucking thought. That's a fucking good thing to say.
Yes. Yeah. Please consult experts. Do not listen to us. We don't.
If you find a bear in the woods, please consult an expert.
Maybe before you go into the woods. would be a better time.
And remember your bear spray.
Bear spray is illegal in some places. Not in the States.
Not in Canada. Not in Alberta.
Yes, in Alberta.
No, not in Alberta.
Or is it BC?
It's illegal to use as a weapon.
But you can't buy it.
You have it. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
I honestly thought you could buy it.
Amp at the dollar store.
Or backcountry.
Funny enough, I thought you couldn't buy it in Canada anymore.
Nope, you definitely can.
Well, my little sister would tell you bear spray is pointless.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with her.
Okay, the one thing I can tell you that I've been told by my sister who lives in the woods and is a woodsman, if you are ever want to be sure you're going to be safe from a mountain lion, from a bear, or from a wolf, run down, then up a hill. You run down the hill, the bear and or cougar will not be able to keep up with you, and they will fall. And then the same with the wolves. They will run too fast, and as soon as you turn up the hill, the animals will roll down the hill. They will give you enough time to get away. And you can repeat the process over and over. That is something.
And if you are trying to avoid a cougar in the city, just don't take drinks from older ladies.
I was gonna say just don't go to those. Don't go to the Irish bars. If you want to stay away from those Irish bars, man, it's where they always seem to hang out.
All right. Anyways, that was not our topic for tonight.
Why not? This has been a great topic. Well, what is the topic, Miss Viking? The
topic that we have been talking or wanting to talk about for the last
month?
Probably longer, actually.
Month.
The last time we did it was right around Halloween, so yeah, it's been a while.
It's right around Halloween.
Both Halloweens. The real one and the not real one.
So, in other words, today's topic is a recap and game theory of what we're doing in our campaign.
The answer is, we don't know. Except for the fact that I have to walk down a lot of dark and dangerous paths.
Go on.
And then a lot of weddings.
A lot of weddings. I'm illustrating wedding number 3 right now as we speak.
So to give everyone some context, I'll talk about that after. After we do this, we'll do that as the last topic. But to give everyone else there some context, not just have we done this a while, but last weekend I wasn't here because I went to Montreal to go see Powerwolf, which I will talk at the end of our show. They were supposed to play D&D without me.
But we weren't really going to play without you. We were going to go for a shopping session in a new place that we've been trying to get to for a while. Because we figured it was a good use of time.
Exactly.
But then it didn't happen. Instead, we just kind of talked about the Elusive Gentleman's amazing world? Worlds?
And we got a bunch of lore dumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane lore dumps.
Which I wanted to mention on it first, because it kind of makes sense when you think about it. I mean, our Elusive Gentleman, just to be as candid as possible, I think what makes him such a good DM, just like Matt Mercer or other such DMs, is because they've been playing for as long as they have and building their world over such a long time. I mean, think about it, Viking. You and I have stories in our heads that we've been working on for years and years and years. Imagine if instead of working on those stories, we basically played those stories with our friends and in his case, his brothers as well, since we were, 13, 14. And
it's true.
And at the same time, all the twists and turns and all the evolutions don't come from inside our heads. They come from playing with our friends. And so it doesn't surprise me that when you have someone like that, that they have such an intricate world.
Exactly. So really what happened is that recently someone who used to play with the Elusive Gentleman began playing with us, and this person used to play in this same world that we are playing in. And what we have learned is that the events that this person set in motion 20 years ago in the timeline of the world, they still happened. They're still there. Yeah.
It's the Elusive Gentleman's brother. We don't have to be so coy about it. It's his brother.
Sometimes it's nice to give people the option of privacy.
Well, it's the Elusive Sir Gentleman. Because it's his brother, right? So the elusive gentleman is the Elusive Sir Gentleman. That's his first name. So his brother's name is Sir. The Elusive Sir Gentleman.
Except the Elusive Gentleman's name is also just Sir Jeremy, so.
Well, that's his colloquial name.
I see.
I thought his name was Indescribable Screaming in Pain.
Indescribable Screaming in Pain. No, that's the Shield Maiden. That's the Shield Maiden. Speaking of which, yeah, no. And I mean, I'm not surprised because, I mean, they're brothers, so they've played together for their whole lives.
Yeah, pretty much. We did discover that a character that C4 really liked is actually really awful. Yeah, like concentration camp awful.
Nah. That's not really. I mean,
yeah.
In game, like, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, this character's mom's just completely awful.
Yeah, your mom. Found out
so much about
it. Is it Chuck's mom?
No, it's Lord Umber.
Oh, I don't give a shit about Lord Umber. He's not Chuck's dad, and he's not Chuck's mom.
You would also learn about Chuck's mom, though. They hired Chuck's mom. This previous party actually hired Chuck's mom and put her in charge of the Black Baron. They chose her to run the brothel because she was a cloud giant and they thought that was cool.
And if anyone got too handsy, they would be out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck knows that. That's true.
Still, but now we know how it happened.
Okay.
And we're getting closer to knowing things about John's C4's character.
True.
The only mystery my character has, he doesn't know his dad is. And that's why he's basically a Floridian. Sits, rocks a mustache, handlebar mustache, aviators, mullet.
My character has more mysteries than she ever expected to have. Way more.
Your character was a witch in the woods.
No, don't be ridiculous. She's a sorcerer all the way. Totally. 100%.
Sorcerer in the woods.
I don't know why you act like out of game. Like, we're not. Like, we have no idea. No, she's totally a sorcerer. We've all seen that she's a witch. We all know you're playing a witch. It's just like, I mean, in-game, I'll never call you a witch. I'll call you a sorcerer. But, like, out of game, just like... I mean,
you asked the other day.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you did some very witchy things in-game. And, I mean, check.
No, you just asked out of nowhere, actually.
When it came to the book, yeah.
I asked you if your mom was a witch.
No. You also asked if something was my last name when you had no way of knowing anything to do with that.
No, that was out of game.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
I think you're forgetting things.
Maybe? It's pretty easy when I do stuff in character because I will do it in Chuck's accent.
Yeah.
You did it in Chuck's accent.
Okay.
Anyways. So, the last time we did this was right around Halloween, and it was before we got on the airship, which feels like a million years ago. It was before Thelen and Finn got engaged.
I thought it was during the airship.
I don't think so. Was it?
Think so?
We were theorizing about moons.
The plane was flat.
Which it is. We did learn that. Oh, I don't remember. Either way, right around Halloween, because real life Halloween and in-game Halloween ended up matching up. Oh, it was right. It was after that because we were thinking about the sky beam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So last time we talked about our game on here, we were talking about the sky beam.
And we learned about that too.
That's true.
It was all Chuck's fault.
It was categorically much more your fault.
I was going to say, that sounds like a Thelen thing.
Technically, it wasn't.
I bet you it completely was.
No, it's not. We know exactly what it was, and I even told you.
I probably forgot.
No, like, I told the party. I told Chuck.
It was Ellen's sister who caused that.
Oh, yeah.
Thelen's sister accidentally released Tolomir.
So if we're going to do this, all right.
We need to start at the beginning.
So last time on Dragon Ball Z. Last time we told everyone about how we went on an airship and we got back and like Shield, the Viking said, there was a sky beam. So the main city that the gentleman had built was under siege by these shades, and we had to go in, and we'll talk a bit about that, and going into our first ever boss fight, which just ended up everyone floundering until, like, out of game, I knew what to do. In game, I tried to do it, and then the Shield Maiden ended up throwing a skeleton. Yeah, we'll get into that. And then we went from there to an elven city that's been stolen and is now in a snow globe. So that wasn't our fault. And then we went from there to these islands and stopped at a couple of them. And then we stopped at one with a city. And then the city started getting destroyed by this murder-happy maniac who just wanted to murder everything. But not quite. But we're not going to kill him because he's Zinni's brother.
Yeah.
Even though everyone else except Chuck and Thelen want to kill him. Everyone else then is Edda and Dresden. I guess the party split would be really what it is. Zinni's opinion being biased, it would be Chuck and Thelen want to keep this man alive because Chuck is not for wholesale murder. But he's also not for just straight up murder. It's just, he doesn't like murder.
Ridiculous.
I know, it's crazy, right? Like, and then we did another final dungeon before everything kind of stopped for a couple weeks, where we went through a bunch of kobolds, which again, Chuck did his best to not murder, while a half of the party, Zinni being the operative one, went full Legolas and just felled poor kobolds before they could even touch her.
It was amazing. Bone
still hasn't killed
it was a massacre, is what we call
it. Was amazing.
A massacre.
I'm pretty sure I killed 78.
You now know what your husband feels like when he goes on massacre raids.
Yeah.
Yes, you definitely are like husband and wife.
I'm not sure if you're talking about the Shield Maiden or Greasy Boy right now. Do you mean my real husband?
I don't know. You'll have to tell me.
I don't know. I'm not a mind reader.
I do know which one I was talking about, but I love it that you can't tell. What does that say more about you than me?
I mean, considering the fact that Thelen has not killed anyone, I suppose you must mean my actual husband.
Yes, yes, I do. Like husband, like wife. He was the mass murderer last game. You're the mass murderer this game.
I mean, only in this one particular circumstance. I highly doubt that'll work again.
I'm not going to say it will, but nothing would make me laugh if, like, 6 months from now we do this again. And, like, that becomes, like, a realization of all of us three. We're just like, wait a second. Zinni just keeps mass murdering people. She killed all the people here. She killed, like, 40 people here.
Well, see, here's the thing. Zinni is not good by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I think you've said that a couple times.
Yeah.
Where Chuck is the goodest character I've ever played.
Zinni is aggressively neutral. She will do whatever works best for herself. Which
Thelen makes, is neutral.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not chaotic or anything.
I feel like Zinni plays hopscotch with the line between chaotic and lawful.
I just think it's funny that Zinni, like you're the way you play your character, is you question everything Chuck does when he's around you, but like Chuck's entire, like the way I play him is he only has one thought, is like, I just want to make sure you're safe. And then you're like, why? And it's just like, because I want to make sure you're safe. Like in his mind, that is a complete
spy on my character while actively encouraging another character to go off alone.
Yeah, my character's an idiot. He's minus one intelligence. Like he's got 8 intelligence, man. He's a dumbass. Like, I don't know what to say. Like you ask a dumbass for an explanation. His explanation is exactly what he told you. He wants to make sure you're safe. If he's telling someone else to go on his own, it's because, you know, he doesn't want to say it in front of them, but he doesn't really care if he goes off on his own.
I see.
It's honestly, that's what I love about playing Chuck. There's nothing else underneath. It's all what he does, what he says, and he thinks what he says. It makes it so much easier than playing my last character. With Maurice, every single time I spoke, I had to weigh every single word I said to the party. I had to be careful with everything I said. I had to measure every single line. Because if I said the wrong thing, or if I said a little too much, one of you might do something that I don't want you to do. And so it was really crazy with Maurice. But Chuck, it's none of that. He's just, it's exactly it. He's exactly what you see. I love it so much. It makes it so simple.
We might as well continue. So yes, we fought a freaky thing underneath Iron Crossing, and obviously we won, but a lot of people died.
None of us, though.
How did we win?
By you consecrating some bones or something like that.
Yeah, that is how we eventually won, but this was actually a really funny fight. Like this one, so in the base in this dungeon, there's three main pathways. They all lead to a center intersection. At the center intersection was a dais, and there was three women, right? I remember. There were four women. And on the one side of the edge of the dais, at the end of the pathway, is a corpse. On the other edge is a room. And then there's a force field around them. And there's a kid that we're trying to save in the middle. And above is like this evil thing that's forming that we can't see, but eventually Zinni's character, or Viking's character could.
Zinni is the name of my character.
So obviously we're doing trial and error, like killing the women, and that's not good. That speeds up the ritual, and we're realizing that as these women die, the ritual's going faster.
And there's also a child in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I said there's a child we're trying to save in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the force field, and our fighter, Viking's husband, sees the body, and I'm a cleric. And I'm like, oh, wait, I can, as soon as I say out loud at a game, I could probably consecrate that body. I take the skull and throw it into the water because there's a giant swirling like whirlpool underneath us. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. So I have a familiar that's like a little like pseudo dragon that I said is a gator. So while they are doing their best to fight the little minions that are coming along, trying to, what else were you guys trying to do? There was also like
potions involved, trying to keep this child from dying.
So what it came down to is while I was consecrating this body, I figured out as Chuck put together that if we gave them healing, we could prolong the ritual. And so,
that was my idea.
Was that Thelen's?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
It was someone's idea.
I started healing while singing.
Yeah.
That's right. And it was it became what was almost a complete failure. Became a race to grab this skull from the water as Chuck, while the rest of the party empties their pockets with whatever healing we had to try and heal these things to prolong the ritual. That was actually one of the most fun fights. And it wasn't even a fight.
It was a fight. It was very definitely a fight.
It was like a puzzly fight.
Yeah.
In the end, we really didn't need to fight. We just needed to cast healing and consecrate a body. It's just the shadows were not helpful.
Anyways, yeah, after that fight, we went back to Thelen's mansion because he has one of those. We took this kid with us, and there were issues with the kid. He, you know, had been involved in super creepy ritual, and now there was a woman singing to him and showing up and teaching him songs. So we took him with us and found what may or may not have been a safe place for him to go with an old friend of Zinni's.
I'm of the camp. Like, out of game, seriously? No, we fucked that kid. In game, I have no idea. Chuck thinks we actually did the kid a solid. But out of game,
I don't really know what else we could have done.
I'm pretty sure we fucked that kid. I honestly, if I was actually playing like a smart character, what I would have said is we should have just kept the kid with us. We have a ship.
I suggested that so many times.
And I would have agreed with you, but Chuck was not going to keep a kid on his ship.
Yeah.
I also suggested that.
It was a great suggestion. I would have been with you guys out of game. But in game, like, no way. No way Chuck would ever allow a kid. That's too dangerous.
We could have safely kept the kid in the manor.
No, that would have been bad too.
Whoever the woman was would have got him.
Yeah. No, I think you guys had the best idea of bringing the kid with us, but unfortunately, as much as I wanted to agree with that, that would have been against the way my character thinks.
Yeah. Well, we dropped the kid off and then we went on to this elvish city, discovered that it was destroyed. And then we went out, yeah, like C4 said, we went out to the islands. Ellen went to visit his fun family island. It was a good time. Found out
Yeah.
he needs lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Imaginary ones.
He needs imaginary drugs, the special kind.
Let's
Yeah,
be
ice.
very specific here.
And sorry.
Then we went to the biggest city in the islands, the like capital, and we accidentally summoned my brother.
No.
We purposely summoned my brother, but didn't realize he would destroy the city in attempting
Again,
to get.
no.
Yes.
We, as in you and you.
Yes.
There was three people that were
No, no,
not
no.
part of
We.
that.
No, we. All of us. As a group, decided it was a great idea.
Yeah, not this guy. He was not part of that.
We also found out that Caden or the greasy boy thought that his entire family was dead, but we found out that his mother, or not his mother, his sister is not.
His mother is also his sister.
No. The only time that's true is the moons. One of the
As far
moons
as
is
we know.
a mother and the other one is a sister, but they're twins. My crazy brother showed up and like bombed the city and threw a kraken at me. And then I went and like hung out with him for a few days.
We
And we
found
found
out that.
out the craziest thing of all, and the reason why the elusive gentleman had such a weird reaction when Greasy Boy and I decided that our characters were going to get married, is that my long lost brother and his long lost sister were also getting married.
We beat them to it, so it's not weird.
Exactly.
They're the weird ones.
Exactly. I mean, they beat us to getting engaged, though, so.
Yeah, but as far as we knew, they were dead.
Well, no, I knew my brother was alive. I just didn't know where. But yes, he has a flying ship, and he flew us to a mountain. And by
Sorry,
us, I
had.
mean the greasy boy and the shield maiden and I. He flew
You
us to a
mean he
mountain,
had? He
and
had
I.
that ship.
True. I climbed the mountain and I got told a whole bunch of prophecy type stuff along the lines of, you've got to save the world or else we're all going to die. Great fun. And then we went back down the mountain and the shield maiden blew up the ship and everyone on it. Killed 200 of my character's people. It was great.
Okay, to be fair, it was she d So we had been told for like three sessions that the Viking did not want us to kill her brother, and Chuck, my character, was all for that. However, we needed to get her brother off, obviously. And so
Not obviously.
And
That
the thing
was
was,
on
is
you. Phrasing.
all of a sudden, everyone started messing, everyone just started talking. And it just became, it wasn't my plan, thank God. Because I remember when the plan, because I can't remember whose it is, because I remember when the plan came up, I said, well, glad it's not my plan, because I am not taking the fall for this. And the plan became that we had found gunpowder in the ship. And so, in what was the most well-timed event we had ever done, in I think it was like a turn or two, we were able to pull her brother off the ship and Zinni and basically, and at the same time, ignite the powder kegs and get our fighter off this flying ship and explode
it. It was a thing of beauty, but also, man, my character is so mad at you guys.
Again, was not Chuck's idea at all.
Yeah, but he was still part of it.
Yep, and so was your husband.
Yeah.
You could be more mad at him. I only knew about the kidnapping part.
He didn't know about the whole thing.
I only knew about the kidnapping part. Not the fire explosion.
Neither did I.
I mean, it would seem that was all Etta.
Yeah. Chuck is never for wholesale murder. Now, capturing them, putting them in little rooms where they get to sit out and serve their sentences for carrying out wholesale murder, he's completely for.
Yeah, no. Well, from there, we went on to another city, found out that a different place was under siege from a revolution that my brother is part of, and went to save a bunch of kobolds.
But they're just talking about a revolution.
No, there's an active revolution.
Yeah. But there's a very active revolution. Wait. They've destroyed multiple cities.
But people tried to put it down, right? Just because what? They get around?
It was a shadow revolution.
But it's not because people are cold.
I feel like you're quoting something that I've never heard before in my life.
I hope I die before I get old, talking about my revolution.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, we killed, we went to a kobold place and killed many a kobold.
Because they were going to kill their own princess.
That's true. Well, only the radicalized ones. We found out later.
Yes.
Which we're going to assume, for Chuck's sanity, that all the ones that died were the radicalized ones. In fact, I might even actually say that in game. You know, for my sanity, like, it's every time Adrian brings it up, be like, yeah, they're all radicalized. They all deserve to die. If anyone says we don't know, I'm like, no, we do know that. How do we know? Because they're dead. That's all we're going to say about it.
Yeah, well, we ended up with a map. So my character currently needs to go find something called the Fountain of Life to, so the voices in her head, well, just voice, singular voice, so the voice in her head can actually find out what it's talking about.
We already found the fountain.
She also needs to, no, we didn't. She also needs to use a staff to find someone named Igwilf, which is apparently her last name, she just found out. She also needs to perform a freaky spell that her mother left to her in a freaky book. She also, oh, I don't even know. There's just so many things that she has to do that are like, oh, this is going to be dark and dangerous. Great.
We also learned that Thelen didn't really have much growing up as a kid. Just loving parents, stability, a mansion.
Right?
A thriving baked goods enterprise that he would one day inherit. Just crap like that.
I see. That's Zinni, you know, actually grew up funny. As a slave. So her parents sold her when she was a little kid.
Thelen had a horrible childhood. He had to deal with his loving parents every day and how they fawned over him so lovingly.
Sounds like another bard we know.
It does. Let's not bring him up. He's always sad.
No, let's bring that up. We only got like 10 minutes left. Let's talk about that. You know, we're talking about fun okay. things that happen in D&D.
Talk about Florida. You'll photocopy this again.
So we played another game. We do. And something happened to me that's never happened to me in D&D. Now, I've played some bad characters. I've played some, as we've talked about on this show, I've played some brutal characters. Whether it is my villain character, Maurice. Whether it was Clegmar Manplanet, my first ever character that was just a giant fat nerd that we use as a gravity mage and just launch his fucking enormous 3,000-pound body in the air and smash enemies. No. That never made this happen. But one time, I will talk about. One time, long time ago, I used to LARP. I LARPed a lot. And one time in LARP, I always played... His name was Seville. And Seville was a rogue. Seville was a bard rogue, because I can actually sing in real life. And so what I would do is I would steal, because you're allowed to steal in LARP. Like, they encourage it. Of course, people get really fucking pissed off when you steal from them. But I didn't give a shit. Because, fuck you. That's the whole point of the thing, is to steal. So I would all the time. And that actually never pissed off people. One thing that's illegal in LARP was being a necromancer. And we were playtesting new rules for LARP. As you play D&D or any game, when you playtest, there's things that are broken. So I talked to the owner of the LARP, and I actually got a build approved as a necromancer, playing my character. And so I came out for a whole weekend as a fully built necromancer, and I killed 17 characters. And I brutalized them. Now, here's the best thing, because it was playtest. All the permadeaths weren't permanent. They all came back. Problem is, everyone remembered what happened. And I was exonerated in-game by the king of the land, okay? He said, nope, Seville was simply working on behalf of the king of the other land. He was doing his job as he does in this land. It was lawful. Told that to everyone in LARP. Literally the next game I go to, I show up, everyone's in dress. Before I get to the tavern, I'm surrounded by 26 people and they fucking murder my character. Which means they kill me, they wait for me to respawn, they kill me again, they wait for me to respawn, they kill me again, they ended my character. They did this without the owner of LARP knowing, and without anyone else, like any of the NPCs. They literally, the PCs, the people who play the game, met in silent. And when I showed up, dragged me out back and murdered my character. That was the only time that had ever happened. Until 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Nobody murdered you.
No. But, from my perspective, I was sitting. Now, I did talk about it, and I'm not going to implicate anyone here. Because you do both play, and we've talked about this, so it's fine. But, I do play Bart, and I play Bart as an emo. He's a revenant. He's a revenant who's completely emo. He doesn't want to do much. He does not want responsibility. He's extremely sad. He's had an extremely privileged life, but he just does not like it. And so he's usually very sad, and he's usually very anti of what the party says. So when they say, let's go do this, his first answer is always going to be, no, let's not. Whenever they say, let's do this, his answer is always, that's not a good idea. It's just the parts of the way I play the character. So one of the things is we're in a town, and I, to be fair, like, because I play online while everyone plays together and I have my headset on, like, it's kind of hard to keep up sometimes. But we were playing, and we were in a town, and I remember hearing that we were in a blacksmith, right? Everyone's talking about, like, oh, they're about to pay stuff with the blacksmith, and they're trying to barter with the blacksmith. And it was a blacksmith, right? It was a blacksmith.
No.
Maybe?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a blacksmith.
Maybe it was, yeah.
And so I tried to go the opposite. I mean, I'm a noble, so I just say, hey, oh, these wares are crap. Was literally what I said. And next thing I know, a couple characters start attacking my character. And then eventually everyone else joins in. And eventually, like, our DM jumps in with the guards. And, like, I was like, wait. Because this one person had suggested, like, well, you know, you're a revenant, so let's just cut out his tongue. And, like, I thought it was a joke, but then it started happening in-game. And I remember being like, damn, that actually just happened. Huh. Oh, and, like,
well, to be fair, he had suggested it earlier. You probably just didn't hear him.
No, I didn't. I didn't hear it at all. Yeah. And, like, and now I've talked to everyone since, because everyone who's in this D&D group is pretty close friends of mine, especially a couple people, two people here included. So it's like, that was interesting. That was super interesting. And the more I think about it, it's just, it's fun, because it's only ever happened. The only other time it happened at LARP, and none of them were my friends. Those were just people I LARPed with. Oh, anyway,
that was part of the problem was that you were actually causing the party problems in that situation, because we had already been told if we disturbed the peace in that town, we were going to get thrown in jail. And they were very much considering you as disturbing the peace. So we were trying to come up with a solution to that problem. And one person who had already wanted to cut out your tongue decided that was the way to go without hesitation or questions.
Yeah, see? The things you miss when you don't hear it. Still, though. Exactly. Still, though. I can honestly say, in D&D, that has never happened. But it did happen in LARP. Which is interesting.
What about Maurice?
That's true.
Never happened to Maurice.
There's a whole session where we're debating if we were going to save Maurice or not.
I spent about a month planning to kill you.
The thing about all that...
Sadly, it didn't work.
The thing about all that, I don't know if Jan... I guess Jan never told you, Sarah. But, like, Maurice was in the bag, but he wasn't dead. He was just pretending to be dead.
When was this?
Oh. Like, there's... Like, the one thing I loved about Maurice, but I also hated about him, is, like, me and Jeremy constantly talked. Because Maurice's plans were always moving forward. I was always doing stuff in the background. So, like... I eventually took a potion secretly, and I rolled like a 30, like a 47 in my stealth, and it killed Maurice. And so at the end series, when you guys had to go kill the final five bosses by yourselves, and you guys were carrying Maurice in a sack. Do you not remember that?
I don't even remember that.
We knew he wasn't dead. He was unconscious because of his husband.
No, So he was awake the whole time.
I was trying to kill you when you almost died otherwise. When I then instead killed Sean, or tried to kill Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about the other time that you were arrested. Or something. And then we were debating if we were going to save you or not.
You didn't.
Oh, that time!
You're right, we didn't. But we were... Well, we did eventually.
No, you didn't.
We came to the conclusion that we were going to, and then you ran away.
You came to the conclusion you were going to, Because, wait, that was when you guys did the grub thing. You guys disappeared.
Yes. No. We got in the car. Yeah, you disappeared, actually.
You teleported away as soon as that started.
Well, yeah, because you guys were on the other side of a crowd. Okay.
You literally left us to die.
Whoa. I was on a dais giving a speech in that moment to thousands of people. You guys were out on the edge when all of a sudden, Taven had an image from the hand who then he didn't accept from. And what I saw from a distance, as Jeremy told me, from 400 feet away, was these people start exploding into grubs, which was happening right beside you because that's where it happened. I would had to have crossed an entire sea of people somehow. You guys left me. I distinctly remember that. You guys left first. Because all I got to see when I asked him, what do I see, is you see a bunch of explosions. You see, obviously, the War Master and Taven going towards a limo. I'm like, okay. And so I teleport straight up.
You got arrested for using magic there.
Yes.
That was how we got down there, though. That was before that.
And I got it down there because I found a sneaky passageway. Someone came and
found me. No, you found Crackle.
That's it. Yeah, Crackle. I was going to say someone came and found me.
I thought it was a kobold that found you.
No, well, maybe, but on Crackle's behalf.
It was Crackle, I thought, too. Anyway,
we're well past. Behalf.
We're well
Anyways, past that's where our game is. Currently, we're going shopping.
Fair enough. I guess.
And we found the gang that burned down our town in the very first session. That's where we left off on Saturday.
The Manticore gang.
Yes.
Are they in Gracia?
No, they're in Golden Bazaar.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We didn't go back to Gracia. We need to go to the desert. Find the Fountain of Life. You know?
Okay.
The word we're not allowed to say anymore.
Alright. Anyway, I should go to bed.
Yes.
I hope everyone out there has a good night. Thank you all for coming out.
We'll hope Except for you. You know who you are.
We'll hopefully see you all next week.
You know what you did.
Even you who you know who you are, we want you out next week. You better be here, you bastard.
I mean, that really depends on who it is.
No. We want all the
Yes.
people. Yes. You know who you are and you know what you did.
Exactly.
But still listen to the show.
No, please don't, actually.